Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll start. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, it is a place that you have given to us, or you have prepared, Lord, in your word, so that for those who have trusted Jesus, they can come together to learn of your word, to understand your word, and then, Lord, to go out and tell people about your love, and Lord, to live our life so that our families can know the love of Jesus. And Father, the people around us, Lord, will see the light that you have given to us. Father, we pray today. Now we thank you for the people that have gathered, the children that are here. Lord, we really, really need your help to understand your word. Lord, on a daily basis, we face many challenges. We face many challenges and things that happen in our lives. We feel tired, we are loaded down. But yet, Lord, we know that in Christ we have the strength. We are able to rise above by your grace and by your mercies. We know, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves today at your feet. Lord, we pray that you will take your word, and Lord, you will speak through an unworthy servant, Lord, the words that you want us to learn about the faith, Lord, of a Gentile woman, and also the faith that will reach out. We pray that you will build our faith as a Christian. Lord, if someone who may have something on their hearts, and Lord, they are tired, or they are distracted, or Lord, they are just confused, or maybe even not here, I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will bring their mind and their hearts to concentrate on your word. Lord, we pray you chase away every distraction and give us a heart of wanting to learn and hear your word, Lord. Pray for the children. We pray that you will help them also to understand your word, that they might have a foundation, Lord, for their life in this world and the world to come. Lord, we know you are coming soon, and so help us, Lord, to pay attention to what you have, that we might be ready for your coming. Oh, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to Mark chapter 7 as we continue on, as we study in context the Word of God, and also to draw precious lessons for our life. Today we are looking at faith, okay? Faith of a Gentile woman and faith, the faith that reaches out. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Okay, we just read the two verses together, then I'll go into the thoughts. Okay? Ready? Mark chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Ready? One, two, go. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Okay, in Mark chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says here, right, as we move forward in our Sunday Bible hour, Jesus stood up, he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is just outside of Israel, right at the northern tip, okay? The place is called Lebanon, okay, right at the top. He was out there, and Lebanon is outside of Israel. That means it is not a Jewish nation. It's not a Jewish nation, okay? And then when he was there, he actually went into a house. And notice what the Bible says. Jesus did not want anyone to know he was there. Because the Bible says, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. Jesus' plan was not, I'm going to Tyre and Sidon, I don't want anyone to know I'm there. But he couldn't be hid. Why? In verse 25, the reason is because a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, came and fell at his feet. This is interesting because as I meditated on this, it's a very precious lesson. The Lord Jesus did not want to know anyone to know he was there, but the woman who had a need found him out. When you want to find God, you will be able to find him. That's the point here. Jesus didn't want, okay, humanly, maybe he needed rest. The Bible never said he just wanted to be away. But you know, when a woman heard that Jesus was there, he went to look for him. He went to look for him. And I think the point here is the certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit. That means this woman had a need in her life. There was something urgent in her life that was so important. Her own daughter had an unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit maybe has tortured the daughter, and it was a very distressing thing. Okay? And like any parent, when your child has trouble, you know, I can tell you, any parent who have a son or a daughter who may have a trial in their life, you know, the parents are always very heavy-hearted. Okay? Moms and dads always have a very heavy heart for their children when the children have an unclean spirit. In other words, maybe it could be a serious sickness, it could be their lives are not right with God, or parents are always very heavy. But you know, when parents are heavy in their heart, guess what? In this situation, this woman heard of Jesus and came to look for him. He came to look for him. Notice her attitude. When she heard of him, she came and fell at his feet. In other words, she submitted to Christ, okay? And I want us to be encouraged with this. When you have a need, you can always find God. It's whether or not the need is so important to you in the first place. All right, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter. People on my left, this side. Jeremiah, here, leave me. So 29 verse 13, and then people on my right. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, okay? Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and then people on my right, Hebrews 13 verse 5, okay? So those people, Jeremiah 29 verse 13, ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, then Hebrews 13 verse 5, ready? 1, 2, go. In Jeremiah 29:13, God, through Jeremiah, told the children of Israel, "And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." There are two parts there. You will seek him, and you will find him. That is a promise. If you search for me with all your heart. Because God is not interested in half-hearted seekers. People who will say one thing but do something else. Does that make sense? And I think as parents also, when our children come to us, "Mama, I want sweet." Then after that, forget about it. Then the parents say, "Obviously, you're not interested. You may ask for it, but you're not seeking diligently for it." And God wants us to seek him with his heart. You know, sometimes people will say things like, "God is playing games with my life." God doesn't play games with people's lives. God is very serious-minded. That's why when people come to him, sometimes God doesn't respond, not because he doesn't want to, because God doesn't look on the outside, he looks at the heart. He looks at whether you're interested or not. Whether the thing you're looking for is interested or not. And God says, if you're interested and you put your heart into it, you will find him. All right? And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, talks about that our conversation be called covetousness. This has to do with daily life. Because God promises that I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Okay? Now, I want us all to understand one thing. Somewhere in your Christian life, you are going to find that God is not with you. Somewhere in your Christian life, you are going to find, "God, I pray you don't seem to answer." And then some Christians will come to the place of discouragement and say, "God has left me," or "God is very far from me." Listen to the sentence, "God is very far from me." Who is the center? God or me? God is very far from me. It's a self-centered thought. Let me ask you a Bible question. Where is God with regards to his children? Where? Israel? In your heart. In other words, the Bible says, please understand this Bible truth. There is at no time that Jesus has left you. So you cannot say that God has left me, and you cannot say that God is not with me. He is always 100% with you. It's whether or not you listen to him or not. You know, you may be talking to a friend who's very angry with everything, and you're just sitting there quietly. You don't understand me, you know, this person, and you just listen. And say, you don't care about me. Actually, if I don't care about you, I wouldn't even be sitting down in front of you. Does that make sense? Please understand, in your Christian life, remember, Jesus is always with you. That is a Bible truth that every Christian need to know, because at one time or another, Satan is going to tell you God has left you. God will never leave his child. Never. Okay? So be very clear of this. Okay? The reason why I brought it up is because people may say, that, oh, my spiritual life is dry. I'm just not able to find God. When I read the Bible, it's always very dry. Can I say this? If we are honest, the problem is never with God. It's always with us. How we see things, how we feel things, is always with us. And that's where we need to be honest and actually say, God, I don't know why I'm feeling dry. Firstly, bring that thought into the captivity of Christ. Say, God, I know you are always with me. Because the Bible said so. When Catherine, when you're doing your O-level and you feel so stressed, God is with her. Amen. And we are praying for her, and you know, and Esther Joy, and whoever that takes exams, some of you are in examinations now of your life, some trial. God is right there. Okay, I just want to highlight this point, and never, never, never let Satan give you a wrong thought that God is not with me. God is always with his people. In fact, God wants to be with his people so much, it's his people that push God away. Remember Adam and Eve when they sinned? And maybe just on that, you know why sometimes people don't find God or don't feel God or don't feel to learn anything from God? You know what is the barrier many times? Sin. It could be the sin of unbelief that you will think, oh, God's not with me, or it could be a real sin, disobedience to God. And you don't seem to find him, okay? But I want to encourage you from Mark chapter 7, 24, 25. This woman, even though Jesus wanted to hide from them in the flesh, okay? Jesus, the Bible never said why. He didn't want people to know it. Those who just came in were in Mark chapter 7, verse 24. God, Jesus didn't want anyone to know, but he could not hide himself from a woman with a need who came to look for him, okay? Okay, moving on, Mark chapter 7, verse 26. Now, the Bible says a woman was a Greek. Silalan, okay? A Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So this woman had a need, came to Jesus. And I believe the Lord wants us to understand this. She was from a nation that was not chosen. Israel was a chosen nation. Greece was not. Syrophoenician nation was not. Israel, by the way, Israel today is still the chosen nation of God. That has not changed, okay? Some of you may know Uncle Tony and Sister Jennifer. One of the first things they asked me was, do you believe in the replacement theory? You know the replacement theory? That God has replaced Israel with the church. Actually, I didn't know what was the replacement theory. Actually, all I know is God, Israel is still God's chosen nation today, even up to today. Okay, just that God has two different plans, but right now it's the plan for the church, and when the rapture happens, the church age ends, God will reinstate his plan for Israel again. Okay, so this is important because of Jesus' response, number one, but also because of the significance, the value of faith in God to God. What does that mean? I want us to see, this woman was not from a chosen nation, but she placed her faith in the God of Israel. Okay? Let's see this. And Mark actually mentions that she was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not suitable, or it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Jesus actually said, let the children represents Israel. In other words, if you want God to do anything, I have to do for Israel first. Just like any parent, between feeding the neighbor's children and feeding our children, you know, we all naturally feed our own children first. Why? Because they belong to us. Okay? And so Jesus said, look, let the children, let me give faith and teach the children of Israel first. Let me do things for the children of Israel first. Because it's not suitable to take what is for the children and give it to dogs. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is not insulting the Greeks. She's not insulting. Jesus would never do that. When he said the dogs, it just refers to those people who are not chosen. And oftentimes they're referred to as dogs. Okay, today we may have an insulting tone. Okay, but Jesus would never insult. He says, look, I cannot take the food of the child and give it to an animal. That is not right. So Jesus was right in doing that. But notice what the lady said. Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. You know, I preached a whole message on this. I think two things I learned. Number one, this lady's faith would not take no for an answer from God. You know why? Her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She had a need, and it is not her own need. It's her daughter's need. And say, God, you have to help my daughter. I don't care if you call me a dog. But you know, number two, the faith of this woman. This woman said, Lord, besides you, there is no one else that can help me. How do I know that? She came to Christ, did she not? And I want us to actually look at what she called Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, which is a cross-reference. I believe very important in this, in our study. I want us to notice what this woman called Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, which gives it a little bit more meaning. Okay, Matthew 15, 22, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. What did the woman call Jesus? And this woman, who is not from the chosen nation, said, O Lord. Where did she hear that? We don't know. The Bible never said. All we can know is she heard that Jesus is the son of David. And when you talk about the son of David, it's a messianic title. In other words, all the Jews refer to the coming Messiah as the son of David, the one that will sit on the throne forever. All right? And this non-Jewish lady referred to Jesus as the Lord, son of David, which means she believed. The son of David is a title. It's just like if I call Francis the president of the Philippines. And I believe in his abilities. You're like the president of the Philippines. I believe in your abilities. I believe that you kill the drug people or whatever. Okay? I believe. That's why I give you the title. And that's where I believe the Lord Jesus actually mentioned in Matthew 15:28 in the same passage. After that, we go back to Mark. After the whole thing, Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You know why her faith was great? Her faith was great because it was a persevering faith. A faith that will not take no for an answer. Because, once again, now this faith, you know, we will fight for what we believe that will affect us. But this woman had a daughter. You know, sometimes, can I just make a mention? It's very sad that Christians today, sometimes not here, but I've seen Christians who give up on their loved ones who are not saved. So it's very hard to reach them. There's no way I can reach them. You know what? Too bad, I can't do anything. As a Christian, You know what you need to do? I like one missionary's wife said, I may not be able to do anything, but I can grab God's legs and, God, you have to answer my prayer. You know, this person is so precious to me. Lord, you have to answer my prayer. And that's what this lady did, you know. And she said, Lord, I don't care. You call me a dog. Yes. But you know what she said? Lord, I don't need... You know what she said? Lord, I don't need the whole feast. I don't need everything that you... I just need the breadcrumbs that fall from the table. I just need that. I just need you to listen to me and just give me a bit of your power so that you can help my daughter. That's all she was asking. And you know, Jesus did say, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you'll move mountains. Alright? Now, some principles from here. Number one, anyone can come to Christ. Anyone can come to Christ. Let's look at the non-believer first. The non-believer absolutely can come to Christ. No non-believer, when you share the gospel with people, people will give all kinds of excuses not to come to Christ. Actually, anyone come when they have a heart. Okay? For the non-believer, we need to pray for God to open the heart so that the non-believer can come. And when they hear the word, they'll be responding. All right? For the Christian, you know, we live in today's society that Christians are full of excuses and reasons why they cannot live for God. This woman, Jesus was hiding from this woman, but this woman still could find Jesus. Why? You see, it's not your reasons or excuses, it's your heart. It's your heart. It's a heart placed on more important things. Okay, during the youth camp, I'm just thinking through the messages, you know. What is your heart placed on? You know, our heart, there's limited capacity here. The heart, I believe very much, is designed for only one king. When Adam and Eve was created, the only king was God. And there was no problem. The fellowship was sweet, everything was good. But when sin came in, self became sitting on the throne. When Jesus saved us, we accepted him as our savior. God wants us to put Jesus back on the throne again. But because we live in an environment of sin, it's so easy, we can be so easily influenced to push Christ off that seat. And for Christians, I can tell you at the end of this, well, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, we'll read there first, then I'll point you to another more clearer verse. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. In the English language, the word expressly means the Spirit speaks specifically. In other words, he is very detailed. That in the latter times, in the end times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. The word seducing spirits means you're going to listen to influences that are not from God. You're going to listen to influences that are not from God, doctrines of devils. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's where I want to target. And this is one of the characteristics of the end times, okay? Verse 1, the Bible says, This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the first thing that Paul says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And if you love yourself, God will never be on the throne. If you find yourself not living for God, and let's be honest. If you live for God, don't live for God, you know it yourself. If you're not living for God, you're loving yourself more than God. And God says the characteristics of the last days is that men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's scary. If you have truly trusted Christ, yesterday I was challenging the youth, talking about following Jesus. I was saying that the first question is Jesus worth following? And the second question is, if you can trust Jesus to save your soul from hell, He's your Savior, then is it so hard to follow Him? Think about that. You are entrusting your eternity. When you leave this world, you believe Jesus is going to save you forever. Is it so hard to follow Him in this life? Should it be so hard? If you are drowning and you're going to die and someone saves you, you will forever remember that person. Yes, that's a very simple connection. But do you know why some Christians just find it hard? Because self is still on the throne. I want to encourage you, anyone can come to Christ. It's not the church fault, it's not the Bible fault, it's not God's fault. And when we are away from Jesus, it is because we have chosen to live away from God. So I'm encouraging you, through this lady's example, if you believe Jesus can lead your life, can save your soul from hell, then the next logical step is, Lord, I'll follow you with everything I have. Because you are able to help me, you are able to lead me. Okay? Anyone can come to Christ. Revelation 22 verse 17, let me just read. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. Revelation 20:17, the Spirit is very clear, whosoever will. No one can force you to follow Christ. If you're a Christian, no one can force you to follow Christ. We can't. But God loves you so much as a Christian, He will make it such that you will, looking back, you will wish that you have followed Christ. Does that make sense? Okay, as a mom and dad, we love our children, we want them to follow Christ. Sometimes they don't want. You know, you can't really do anything. And children, can I say this? When parents ask you to follow Christ, just consider that they have been following Christ to the age they are at now. Why would a logical thinking person follow a belief system that don't seem to be compatible with life? Do you realize that I believe all the older Christians in this church, the parents and all that, they come to a time in their life, they realize we're actually not invincible, amen? We can fail. And we have failed so many times that we've come to learn that only God help us. You know, for our family, I was telling our family devotions, the reason why my family is still together is all because of God's grace. Nothing else. And your life will be strong with God. It's all because of God's grace. And if we for one moment think we can live apart from God, we are sadly mistaken. And one day when we stand before God, we would have wished, God, I should have trusted you more. Okay, it's just number one, anyone can come to Christ. Number two, faith in God will receive from Him. When we put faith in God, we will receive from Him. Okay? In Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, let me just read. You can turn there if you like. You can write it down. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I'm going to give you what you want. And I know what you want is because you are concerned for your daughter. I know what you want. You have put your faith in me and it's not yourself. And I know what you want is because of your great faith in me. And so I'm going to acknowledge your faith. I'm going to give you what you want. Or rather what you need. I want to give you what you know you cannot do yourself. But you're putting everything on me. And I believe it goes as far as if Jesus says great is thy faith, it means the woman's faith is great. If God can command our faith, great is thy faith. You know, it could be that this woman says, look, Lord, if you don't help my daughter, no one else will. And I'm not going to let you go, God, until you help me. And it was not for her sake. It was for her daughter's sake. Every mom and dad will do that for their children. Okay? So, but faith in God, the encouragement will receive someone and encourage you. I think it was, share before I share again, there was this man of God, Jonathan Edwards, many years ago, 400 years ago. the parents of Jonathan Edwards came to their pastor, and they were very concerned for the salvation of Jonathan Edwards. And the pastor said to them, "A child of much prayer will never be lost. If you will bang the doors of God, I need your help. I need you. God will hear. God will hear." Right? Just trust God. Learn to trust. Hebrews 11 verse 6. We memorized that verse before, right? Ready? Hebrews 11 verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And I made a point to the youth yesterday. I'm not the teacher, but Brother Jacob was. But I just made a point. For us to live by faith, you need to start by faith. In other words, you're not going to say, "God, show me all the evidence and then I'll follow you." Faith says, "I'll follow you first. And I know you're going to give me evidence." That's faith. Let me ask you, let's say if I go to, if you come to me, or I go to you and say, "Well, Brother so-and-so, show me all the plans and then I'll follow you." That's A. Or I say, "Come, I'll just follow you. Just tell me what to do." Which has more faith? A or B? The second one. Okay, let's try again. You get what I mean? If I go to A and I say, "Please show me all the plans and then I'll consider and then I'll see whether I want to follow." Okay, show me all the plans. B says, "You don't have to show me plans, just tell me what to do, I'll go. I believe you. Just tell me what to do." Which has more faith, A or B? B. Question is, are we A or are we B with God? And I believe Hebrews 11:6 is teaching us this vital principle. God, I'm going to trust you first. I'm going to try. You see, when we put faith in someone, we don't need all the answers. I always use this. Emma is not going to ask Brother Desmond, "Got money for my milk?" No, Emma just enjoys herself, you know, run around, play and all that. When it's time to milk, sometimes when daddy wants to give water, don't want. But you know what? Emma don't have a care in her life right now. Don't have, why? We know children don't have a care. Like, why? Because they know someone loves her and cares for her. Ambassador Baptist, Christians, that is what it means to come to Christ as a child. Our children don't need all the answers. And I believe God wants us to learn that. Simple trust, simple faith. And we complicate God's plan with our thinking sometimes. I'm not saying don't think, but you know, sometimes we think too much that we forget to apply God's word, all right? Faith in God will receive from him. Number three lesson point from here, humility is needed in our asking for the Lord to intervene in our situations. In Mark chapter 7, let's turn back to Mark chapter 7, very quickly. Mark chapter 7, verse 27. Jesus said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it's not suitable meat to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs." And she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table," interesting, "even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." You know, as this lady, how do you think she was, I don't know what she was thinking, the Bible never says, but I'm just trying to think. When Jesus said, "Look, I cannot give you the children's food, okay, but then, and throw it to dogs," this woman was willing to identify herself with someone of a lower position. You know, I do not believe Jesus wanted to insult her, because our Lord would never do that to someone. But she was just using an illustration comparing the children and people who are not of the chosen nation. But this lady acknowledged where she's her position. "Lord, I know that I'm not your chosen nation, but I still believe you. I still believe you." Okay? And it reflects our humility. When we come to Jesus thinking we can help him, sometimes he would say, "Okay, you go ahead and do it. If you can run your own life, go ahead. If you can make decisions for your relationships, go ahead. If you can, go ahead." And I believe God wants us to come to a point that we say, "God, I cannot do it without you. that's when God comes in. Okay? Now, to be very clear of this, some Christians use this not to do anything. Now, that's an extreme. If God asks us to do something and it's within our ability, we should do it. Because that's our responsibility. A farmer cannot bring the increase in the crops, but a farmer can plant the seed. Yes? God wants us to do what we can. We can plant the seed in people's life, through the VBS, through the youth, through inviting people to church and through sharing the gospel. We can do this. Okay? And we can go. Some people say, oh God, please bring and stay at home. Cannot. God says go. And so we need to go. But you know what? When we can't say, God, I'm doing, but it's nothing is happening. God, we need you. That's when God comes in. And it's very important for us to balance that, because some people would say, oh, we trust God to do everything. God's not gonna, our God will not do everything for you. If you are not gonna grow in Christ because you don't read your Bible, full stop. If you're not gonna grow in Christ because you don't serve, full stop. There are some things that God will not do for you. But when we have done all that we can, based on what God has told us, and still the job is not done, and when we plead for Him, that's when He comes. Every sensible father and mother will not do everything for their children. You know why? You are teaching your children to be pampered and to demand everything. I shared one. There was one time, I think I shared before, this is so powerful, I think, because I'm a therapist. So there was a four-year-old boy. When it's time for him to leave the clinic, she sat down at the floor and did this. And when she did this, I was wondering what happened. Then the maid came and wear the shoes. And then I look at the maid and say, he do that all the time. I said, yeah. Then I asked the maid, you move back. You wear your shoes. Start crying. You know, there are some adults today that cry when things are not given to them. You know why? They have learned, I'm the center of the universe. This is a very important spiritual lesson. God will not do for us what we know and He knows we can do. We can pray. We can read the Bible. We can study. We can take a bus to go to church. We can work. We can serve. We've got abilities. We need to use it for God. But our abilities will not achieve what God wants until we give it to Him first. Does that make sense? Okay, I want us to. But it's with humility to know that, God, I have all these things, but I can't achieve anything unless you help me, Lord. And to actually say, God, you need to help me, otherwise I can't achieve anything. Remember the boy who gave the lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish? You know, there's an encouragement. It shows that whatever we give in humility to God, when God's in it, God can multiply. Okay? You know, checklist of faith, do I believe God exists and He's able to perform what He said? You know, all of us have to answer this question. Do we believe God exists? If you are a Christian, you already believe God exists. But do you believe He can do what He said He will do? That's the difference. Okay? Do I believe that He will reward me when I diligently seek Him? That's His promise. And the question is, am I seeking Him? And then, am I diligently seeking Him? All right, so that's the first part. Any questions? Hopefully these are little nuggets that you can... The Bible is so rich with all these things. Just write down. And there are a lot of cross-references. And I believe these are truths that you can live by. And I believe our God wants all men to come to Him. Amen? He wants all men. And I believe through this, He's trying to teach us as Christians, don't ever say that you can never find me, because I'm always with you. No, Christians today, we are so blessed. Because Jesus had already promised, I'm with you always, all the time. In other words, when we are sad, we can pray. Amen? When we are feeling down, we can ask God, and we know He's there. We may not feel He's there, but He's there. Sometimes when you are crying and your friend is in front of you, who are you thinking of? You're thinking about your own tears many times. But your friend is right there. And sometimes as Christians, we need to, that's why I'm encouraging, we need to look past ourselves and say, Lord, you are there. And you know what you need to do? Lord, thank you, you are there. When no one is around, Lord, you are always there. We need to believe that. And then after that, take it forwards, because there is faith. There is faith. And the faith is based on what the Bible says. All right, any questions? All right, let's quickly just go through the last part of Mark chapter 7. Let's look at verse 31 to 37. Okay, moving on. After Jesus healed this lady with a demon-possessed child, he moved on to verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, Lebanon area, he came into the Sea of Galilee. Now he's going into Israel, okay? To the midst of the coast of Decapolis, which means Decapolis means a city of ten different cities. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. Verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude. Jesus took this person aside, away from the people, and then did his miracle, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. Okay? Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And he straightway, his ears were open, and the string of his tongue, interesting, the string of his tongue was loose. I don't know what's the string of his tongue. Maybe the friend element. I don't know. Okay, but basically, the tongue was loose, and he began to speak plainly. And Jesus charged them that they should tell no one. But the more he told them, he charged them, command, the more a great deal they published it. The word publish means to preach, to tell it abroad, to tell people about it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now in this few lessons from here, very quickly, verse 32, they bring unto him one that was deaf. Question, who is the day? This is how, as I go through, you can think, this is how you meditate on the scriptures. Who is the day? The Bible never said, it's just day. But I can say one thing. I can use a few words to describe the day. These people had heard of Jesus and what he has done. And they knew Jesus can help this deaf and dumb. Would that be a fair conclusion? This day, why would I bring, or maybe I'm doubtful, but they still bring it to Jesus because Jesus is of renown. He could heal. They have heard that he had made the blind to see it and the deaf to hear, and he even raised people from the dead. Why would someone bring this person to Jesus unless they've heard? Let me ask you, can Jesus say that any lost soul? Yes, he can. You know, first lesson, we need to be bringing people to Christ. It's a very simple lesson. We need to be bringing people to Christ. We need to know that our Lord can save them. You know, on Wednesday, we're talking to this man, and I was sharing the gospel. I was sharing the blue track with him. Esther Joy was with me. We gave the blue track, and he was saying, oh, they're all the same. He spoke in Hokkien, so I'm not very good in Hokkien. But so I tried my Mandarin with him. He did. Generally, people who are Hokkien and other dialects, they generally will understand a bit of Chinese. So I used a bit of Chinese here and there. And later on, I could sense that he was actually resisting. So I walked past, left the track over their side, and came back. And he was waiting there. And he was giving me his Taoist track. Okay, he was just giving me, and he wanted to kind of compare and say, "Nikai Duma, I read here, yeah." And his point was, all religions teach good. I said, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I'm asking, I'm not talking about doing good. I'm talking about where you go after you die. And then later on, I went on my Hokkien rant. I'm going to share with her the gospel in Hokkien. Thank God, at that point, it was a gift of tongues, I think, came out, you know. I was able to share, and I was thankful. But at the end of the day, all my tian liao, 我不要听, I don't want to listen. And he just left. You know, it's interesting, at that point, There's still so many people who have never heard of Jesus in Singapore. I'm not talking about the name of Jesus. There's still so many people in Singapore who have never heard a presentation of the gospel. Because the name of Jesus can save and the Holy Spirit moves, but the person needs to know why Jesus came. You know, Christians, we need to be busy bringing people to Jesus. You know, this person was deaf and he cannot speak properly.
Very hard to get jobs. And you people will laugh at them also.
And they feel very awkward, right? That if someone can help them to straighten out their speech, their life will be much better. And I believe at that time, the Jews just wanted Jesus to help him there. And Jesus did that. And his tongue was loosed. He didn't say he could not speak, but he had an impediment of speech. He couldn't speak properly, but the Lord Jesus loosed his tongue. All right? And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit. Now, what do you think the significance of that is? You know what it is? Jesus can use anything basic to do his work. Some people say, oh, I need specialized skills to serve God. No, you don't. You just need to be there. Amen? You just need to be there. There was one man who actually had very bad slurring. And no one would have called him to be a pastor. But he can testify every time he preached. His preaching is straightforward and continuous. Because it was God who took control of that person. Does that make sense? I want us as Christians to understand our God can use anything we give to Him. He doesn't need specialized skills. He does not need specialized skills. That's why I believe He called fishermen. That's why He called tax collectors. That's why He called people with no skills in this, or carpenters. What can a carpenter do to preach the gospel? When we think that our skills is necessary for the proclamation and the doing of God's will, we are sadly mistaken, because God can remove that skill. A good example, Brother Saul. Okay, I just want to use that. He oftentimes shared that he wanted to use his piloting skills. God said, no, you're not going to pilot. I'm going to pilot you to China. And you are going to use something that you don't even want to use, Mandarin. And God, praise God, God used him to reach many souls for Christ. And there are some people here say, God is not going to call me to China. Don't ever challenge God. Okay? And those Filipinos who don't want to go to Mindanao, don't you dare. Don't ever say, God, don't send me to Mindanao. God specializes in overcoming your thoughts. The place, you know, the place that we feel we can't is the place that God says, I'll show you, you can, because I'm going to do it through you. Does that make sense? And I believe it might be just a simple putting of the hand. And the application here, actually there's no application. Jesus didn't have anything. He just used his finger and his spit. But the person was loosed. The person was loosed. And he was free. You know, all it needs is your prayer. Some of us don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to pray as well as I should. And I'm asking God, God help me to pray. God help, you know. But do you know that even how weak our prayers, God can still use it? We may not even speak very well. There was one 3-year-old who, when he prayed, said A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Then he said, why are you saying the alphabets to God? He said, God is smart enough. He can put it all into words. And he knows what I mean. I want to encourage you that I'm not putting down skills. But I believe God wants us to understand through this just a simple application lesson that when we think our specialized skills are necessary to God for His work, we are sadly mistaken, and God will very quickly show us, I don't need your skills, I want your heart. Because if you are depending on your skills to serve me, I want you to know that I've got greater plans for you than what your skills can do. You know, Christians, we need to humble ourselves to know that God uses us the way we are. That's why even a finger and a spit is able to free this person. Now, as you grow in your Christian life, remember, be yourself before God. Be humble before God. Just use what I have. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to do things. And if need be, I'll learn Chinese. I'll learn Indian. I'll learn whatever language. But God, here am I. Just take me as I am, okay? So, service to Christ, in verse 33, right? He took him aside and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And of course, verse 34, looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. Okay, the word of God was spoken. God's power was revealed. Verse 35, straight his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loose and he spake plainly. Okay, verse 36 and 37, there is actually another principle there. And he charged them that they should not tell no, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, the so much more, a great deal they published it and were beyond measure astonished. In other words, they were surprisingly, wow. Well, man, this person can really do great things, man. He has done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the blind to speak. And that's all they said about Jesus. And it's interesting, one of the commentators actually mentioned this. All they saw was what he did. You know, when people can do magic shows and acrobatic stunts, wow, the person, wow, they're very good, they're all very smart. And that's it. You know what's the sad part about this? They did not see God in the miracle. They just said, he can do all these things well. He opened the ears. Whether or not it became faith, we would have. In fact, many of them, many of the Jews saw the miracles of Christ and did not believe in Jesus. You know the sad thing? As Christians, when we see God doing things in our life, do we just thank God for the thing? Or does it draw us closer to him? Do you know what I mean? That whatever little that God does for us, or much, or God has done many things for us, does it actually draw us closer in our commitment to him? Okay? And the learning point, let's turn to Mark chapter, Luke chapter 18, verse 43. This is a slightly different context. This is about blind Bartimaeus. But I want you to see the response of this group of people, Luke chapter 18, verse 43. Luke 18, verse 43. Luke chapter 18, verse 43. Okay, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Grace unto God. You know, I love to look at all the words. Blind Bartimaeus was looking for God to heal his eyes. God did. Notice what happened. Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and did what? And did what? Read it, come on. And did what? Luke 18:43. He immediately received his sight and followed him. He received his sight and followed him. Spiritually speaking, when we become Christians, our eyes are open. Just like Paul. After Paul's eyes were open, he followed Christ. It's just a natural. It should be a natural occurrence. You know, we should never need to ask anyone to be baptized. Because it's natural. It's a natural part of our obedience to Christ, unless you have never met him. I remember when, the moment I became a Christian, the next time I baptized, yeah, let's go ahead, yeah, that's baptism. Of course, my mom didn't know it. But later on, she found out. Thank God she did too. And many of you, when you became Christians, you became baptized. Why? It's just a natural part of discipleship, a natural part of following Christ. But notice after that, he received his sight, followed him, glorifying God. The glory was to God. And all the people who were around Bartimaeus, when they saw it, do what? Gave praise to God. In anything that happens, whether it's a Christian thing, and any miracle that God does, when a person gets saved, there can be two responses. Praise God, you got saved. You know, thank God, God, you are such a great God. Or we can say, yeah, you got saved, Lord. And our heart is not stirred about, oh God, we need to do more to reach other. Or, oh Lord, thank you for this person. And the question is our heart stirred when God is doing something? Okay? So coming back to this, when the Lord does something that is well, do we praise Him? I want to challenge us for Friday night. I know sometimes it's hard. One thing I love about the Chinese folks, not that I don't love the English folks, okay? Well, there's one setting that before the service, before the message, we always ask anything to share. You know, the Chinese folks are always very smart. Wow, kanxie shen la, this la, that la, thank God for this la, driving license, everything they bring out. And they thank God for it. And it's such a good spirit whereby they just thank God for the little things, even the little things that start in their lives. I was talking to a brother on Friday and how the Lord has taught him to just count your blessings, the small things. You know, when you start counting the blessings, you realize it can never end. The fact that you're alive today, the fact that you have a house to stay is a blessing. Because there are some people overseas that don't have houses. They don't even have enough to eat. We need to thank God. It's as basic as that, all right? Now, one more learning point, then we'll finish. The Bible says in verse 36, and he charged them that they should tell no man, okay? In Jesus' context, it's a very simple reason. You will find many times Jesus said, after he had done a miracle, he didn't want people to tell. The real reason in the Bible is his time to go to the cross is not yet. The timing is not yet right. Okay? So that is Jesus' reason. But I believe we can apply it in another context whereby, of course we don't take it out of context, but I believe very much, I think the Lord is teaching us, when we serve Christ, we don't need anyone to know. It's enough that God knows that we are serving Him. It's enough to know, for us to know that God knows we are serving Him. Because at the end of the day, we are going to stand before God. And God is going to use His judgment, which is all just, all perfect, to judge our service. And there is one thing that Jesus taught with regards to the Pharisees. Whenever they do something, they needed everyone to know. We don't have to do that. We don't need any fanfare. It's good to encourage a brother who is serving, but we don't need to ask it. You know, I'm always intrigued by one thing. You know, the boy that gave the lunch to Jesus, he was never named. There was no name to it. In fact, there are many people who serve Jesus, there was no name to it. You know why? But you know, it's enough that Jesus recognized that in the word. And I believe at the judgment seat, their names will be told. You know, it's more important to have the praise of God than the praise of man. That's so important. Okay? So, and that's something that for Christians, let's live for the praise of God more than the praise of man. Okay, any questions as we discuss? So two parts of faith of a Gentile woman. Okay, her faith was great. She sought out Jesus. Even when Jesus wanted to hide himself in the flesh, maybe he wanted some rest because he's busy. But you know what? And then the lesson we learn is, when we have a heart to search for God, we'll find Him. God promises that. Jeremiah 29 verse 13, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. I will be found of you. That's our God. And by the way, God is not playing hide and seek with us. He's always there. It's whether we want to find Him. Okay, this one. For the faith that reaches out. You know, for us as believers, we need to bring people to Christ. And sometimes when you find you cannot reach them, pray for them. God can do more. When we can't do, God can do more. When we pray, God can reach out to that person when we can't reach out to that person. Okay, any questions? Thoughts? Well, let's go to a word of prayer and have some fellowship of 25 minutes before the service. And let's just encourage one another's heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Syrophoenician woman. Thank you for this woman who had a strong need. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And she knew, I believe, Lord, in the word that she heard of Jesus, the son of David, that only Jesus could help her. And somehow she found out, Lord, and she dropped everything and went to look for you. Father, I pray that as believers, we will see our need of you in our life. That we will drop everything and go to you first. Because you love us. And Lord, we know that you have the best. Sometimes, when you have shown us your best, sometimes we reject it. Help us never to do that, Lord. Help us to, by faith, believe that, Lord, you will give us your best. And therefore, help us to trust you. And Lord, help us to be like the they in Mark chapter 7, verse 31. They brought this man to Jesus. Help us always to be bringing people to Christ by prayer, by our actions, by our love, by our words. Help us always to be bringing, Lord, the people to Jesus. We thank you for the lessons we've learned, for those who have written down certain things. I pray that these things, Lord, will continue to be real in their life. That, Father, we will stop. We will just be serious-minded, Lord, about following Christ. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless our fellowship. Thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.